face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die. Happy. I'm a Red Sox fan and I can die.
Since day one, you had a feeling that the city was going to fall in love with them. People start like recognize that, hey, man, they fight all the way to the end.
Felt pretty privileged to be able to watch what Nathan and Baldy just did. That was the most incredible pitching performance I've ever seen.
Pierce hits one in the air to left center field. Back at the wall, there will be no zero. Pierce has got another. 2-0 Boston in the first.
Let's go Red Sox.
Since day one, you guys bought into the concept. From day one, we were a family. But I'm proud of you guys.
From the top on down, here comes a 1-2 pitch.
.985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich listen on 98.5 The Sports Hub. I'm like forgetting the word the. Like I'm skipping over the word the in every piece of copy I read today. Listen on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and take us everywhere you go. Also listen at home or in your office. On your smart speaker, just say play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Just see Brulett. This is a Sports Hub app, dummy.
You know what I've realized about Dr. Steve Brulett, I'll keep this exceptionally brief, is that John C. Riley or whatever the other guys, I can't remember their names.
Oh, Tim and Eric.
Yeah, Tim and Eric. They obviously have had young children.
Because that's how they talk. Yeah,
that's exactly how they talk.
They talk like Steve Brule.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
just think about it, dummy. All right, the parade is tomorrow. What is it, 11 a.m.?
Yeah, 11 okay. So 11 a.m.
A lot of kids getting to miss school means extra attention for my children.
Yep, that's my kids are getting to go to the parade. They get to miss school to go see that, which is kind of nice. Although, God bless the teachers that are bringing them to the parade, which is insane. Can you imagine that?
Like, oh, the teachers are taking it.
Yeah, the teachers are taking it.
Oh, that's responsibility.
It's like a field trip.
I need those kid leashes.
Come on. Right. The thing is that, so, like, some of the kids in their school, imagine, like, being a teacher of, like, fourth graders, where you're too old to have, like, the little wire that connects all the kids, like they do in daycare. And they're at that age where all they want to do is just run away from you and into a crowd filled with drunk townies.
I wouldn't do it. I don't need that responsibility in my life.
And you know what's great too is that since it's downtown, you know that a lot of these drunk people are just going to stumble into trick or treating over at Beacon Hill. So you're just going to have like all these
kids are going to be.
Well, I'm telling you, every one of these parades, you know, when I used to live right on Boylston Street, it would be 7-8 o'clock at night, and there'd still be people like stumbling out of the bars. Like they won't leave; they'll make a day out of it. A lot of these people.
Well, that's. I mean, if you're getting properly drunk, that is a very, very long day.
Well, most of these people will be getting properly drunk. I'm astounded. Every parade.
It's almost every parade.
It is. I'm astounded by how drunk people get by like noon.
See, I understand getting that drunk by noon on a special occasion, but I don't understand how then when the sun's down. That you're still functioning.
Letting it ride?
Yeah, and you're outside. I mean, there's a point where the mind and body, every instinct you have is to go home and to immediately sleep.
And the weather's going to be so nice, too, so nice. You know it's going to be absolutely massive. But Marty Walsh got up there yesterday and gave us a little bit of a little heads up on what he does not want to happen at the parade.
A championship duck boat parade will take place on Wednesday, starting at 11 o'clock.
He is so charismatic. I just want to stop and say that. He's like the least charismatic person in the world.
Well, how charismatic was Menino, in your opinion? How charismatic?
But he didn't sound like a robot.
No, he didn't sound like a robot. He was a little more charismatic that way, but it wasn't like Menino was a matinee idol either.
I don't expect someone to be a matinee idol. I just expect them not to be... obviously reading. Like, I don't
Colorado
know how...
Colorado Rocky Beer?
Colorado Rocky Beer? Yeah, so...
I used to love when Menino... I mean, he was...
Yeah, but he didn't speak right. But the thing is that Walsh, when he did the thing for our 10th anniversary, his eyes weren't on the camera, and he was reading. So my thought is, like, when someone gives a speech... And your job is to politic and to give speeches and to change people's minds or reinforce people's beliefs. How you can be so utterly uncharismatic and get any kind of message across?
KJ is a great head, but Hondo's really the inspiration. Now.
Yeah, Hondo.
KJ and Hondo was just one of the best. Yeah. I mean, honestly,
John Havlicek.
Wow. And by the way, I have no idea of what Walsh's politics are. I don't even know what party he's from. All I know is he's the least charismatic person on the planet. All right, here we go.
But we have Tom Brady, who's true and has a veteran's...
Yeah, he had trouble getting it out sometimes.
Yeah.
A championship duck boat parade will take place on Wednesday, starting at 11 o'clock on Boylston Street by Fenway Park. It will continue down Boylston all the way to Boston Common, where they'll take a left on Tremont Street. It'll continue up Tremont to Cambridge and end at Staniford Street. And to be clear, there will be no rally at City Hall Plaza. This is just the parade that we're going to be doing on Wednesday.
All right, stop this. That is, okay, that is upsetting. And not that they're not going to have anything at City Hall. I mean, that would have been great. I do like the sound bites you get from that. But if they're not even going to have something at Fenway, then we're going to be robbed of such golden moments such as this.
This Red Sox team, world champions once again. It has to feel very, very good.
Well, I think this is a magical day for us. The end of a remarkable season, and I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go Red Sox! Let's go Red Sox! Let's go Red Sox!
Go Red Sox!
Larry, how gratifying is this for you?
That will never be topped. It will even this won't even touch.
No day. Yeah,
that saved Belichick.
No
right. As bad as Belichick was. You will never be as bad as Tom Werner trying to start a chant.
It's just his voice. Like,
all right, let's go.
And what a chant. Let's go, Red Sox.
I would like to start a cheer.
If I may, you need a pennant that says team.
I'm excited as mayor to host my first Red Sox parade. I was getting used to the Patriots parades, and now we have a Red Sox parade, so I'm happy about that. And we have some great experiences here in our city, but we're not taking anything for granted. We hope to see a big crowd out there, but we do have a few messages out there. Do not try to drive to the parade. Take public transportation. There'll be traffic and parking restrictions surrounding the route. Boston.gov/Red Sox Parade. I don't think it's up yet, but it's up. It's up. So it's up right now. So anyone who wants to get details, please go to that website. As far as safety goes, I'm encouraging people, don't do anything on the streets of Boston on Wednesday morning that you wouldn't do in front of your own house. Be respectful of the city.
Well, I mean, that's a good message.
Walk nude in front of my own house.
Right. That's a good message to people. I mean, people of Everett are like, okay.
Right. It's like Bird's going, I pee on my flowers all the time.
Yeah. Right. Like, I thought that there was going to be rules.
Right.
And do whatever I want in front of my house.
Right. It's essentially living in caves when you go to Everett. Are people just walking to random houses?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just everyone's on the streets.
By the way, I apparently that happened last, it was the last Patriots parade, is that there was just a group of people who wandered inside of an open Beacon Hill home that was over by Cheers, just went in and just started just sat on the couches and hung out.
Yeah, I can't. Also, you can't leave the doors unlocked, I believe, on the parade day.
Be respectful of the property, be respectful of the people, be respectful of the businesses, be respectful of the Red Sox. When you come into town, just come in to enjoy the parade. There's going to be probably a lot of kids in town as well, but we're going to be asking you to be respectful. The Boston Police and their partners will be out in numbers to make sure everything and everyone is safe and has a great time. Boston certainly has set a new tone around celebrations, and maybe it's because we have a lot of them, or maybe it's just because the way that we conduct ourselves. So, again, I want to thank you all. We are a city of champions, so let's celebrate like champions.
Right. Okay. And not like knuckleheads, I think at one point he says.
Yeah, okay. All right. Would you, if you were a police officer, would you arrest someone for public urination at a parade with a million people?
It depends. It depends. If you're doing it in the alley by yourself and no one sees you, no, because that's going to happen. I mean, that would be like arresting somebody for smoking pot at the 420 festival.
Right.
If you're doing it and no one sees you, now, if you're whipping it out in front of a crowd of human beings, which has happened before.
See, my rule would be, you have to, as long as your back's turned. And I'm loose with that rule too.
So if you're in the Boston, Common, and your back is turned toward some a hedge of bushes,
yes. Or if you're on the street and you're in front of like a brick, and you're relieving yourself, I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah, I would say I'd probably those, because the standards have to be pretty high to arrest somebody at one of these things.
I agree.
And the best part about this is that there's no snow, like the nightmare that it was the last time the Patriots had a parade, because the sidewalks had just these giant mounds on it, and everyone was smashed into each other. You couldn't get by people, and on top of that, you had just people jumping off of the giant mounds of snow into the street. It was kind of... That might have been the most chaotic of all of the parades, was the last Patriots one, with all the snowbanks.
There's so much to worry about. I'd be fascinated if people were getting drunk. I would be fascinated if there was people getting arrested for public urination. I don't know why that just occurred to me.
By the way, I will be out at the Globe tomorrow from 11 to 1, right at the Common, right at Ground Zero for everything.
The Boston Globe?
No, the Globe. It's the bar. It's the bar. It's right across from Copley Square.
Okay.
Did I say Boston Common? Yeah, it's right by Copley Square.
All right, good.
Boylston Street, yeah, across from the library, actually.
Go see Rich at the Globe.
And I'll start a cheer when I'm
Let's
there.
Go Red Sox! Well, let's go Red Sox! Let's
you don't want everyone Red going Sox. Too crazy. All right, Danny go Roach Red is going to join us. We're going to, again, I will not insert myself into, I will not bring any negativity into the conversation. We will just have Roach. You get to hear him enjoy it, and hopefully that makes you feel good as well. We will have the feel-good story of Danny Roach in just a moment.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Champ, Gabe Kapler. First baseman, Kevin Youkilis. Yours truly, and the Red Sox lunch lady. Sounds simple, right? But wait, controversy before we even get the contest started. As the lunch lady's stirring things up.
The lunch lady's a cheater. How do you respond, cheater?
I say let the people decide.
Holy Kapler.
Oi.
.985, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. That was Roach sounding a lot like the current Crash. doing a segment. Dan Roach from WBZ Television is the biggest baseball Red Sox fan that I have ever certainly run across. And it would be only appropriate to talk to him after the Red Sox are now World Series champions. I would assume that Dan Roach will be out in the parade route tomorrow. Dan, Welcome back to Boston. I'm sorry you had a 6 a.m. flight yesterday.
Hi, fellas.
Hello. Dan, what were your feelings as you were at the game, Dodger Stadium, when the Red Sox clinched? I mean, you realized how fortunate you were to be there.
Oh, are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, that was awesome. You know what I mean? Everything about it, the entire run, the entire season, everything, the way things went down, it couldn't have been more perfect as far as you'll never get a Red Sox fan complaining about 2018 in that season. You'll never. It was almost like the Patriots' perfect season, except they went on to win the World Series. That's how it couldn't have gone any better if you were a Red Sox fan. I've never seen anything like it from day one of spring training all the way through to when they finally won the World Series. It was about as perfect as could be. So, yeah, it was awesome. And that venue was beautiful. Have you guys ever been to Dodger Stadium?
I have not.
I have. Oh.
Driven by it.
I have been there.
You go to the top of the park and you walk out and you just look down and it's just one of those special views that you remember for the rest of your life. It's like when you walk up that ramp at Fenway on the first base side and see the Green Monster for the first time. It's that kind of walk. It kind of takes your breath away if you're a baseball fan.
And so then you get stabbed awesome. In the parking lot.
Yeah, I know.
No negativity.
That's right.
they do have it's like a football parking lot. That's how massive the stadium is, and it's almost like going to a football game because of the parking lots. There's just, you know, it's just like Foxborough where you see all parking lots everywhere. That's how big of a place it is, but it's beautiful once you're inside.
Okay, as somebody who keeps scorecards and pays attention to every pitch more than anybody that I know,
I just tweeted them out, Rich. Some of the ones, I have them all in front of me. Okay. And I just tweeted them at you guys.
Should you happen to have a question about, you know, the third game?
You got it right there.
What do you do with those?
Here's the thing. I hit the ultimate dilemma, and you know how things happen in life. It was kind of like one of those things that you knew was going to happen. So we're sitting outside the clubhouse during that 18-inning game on Friday, and people are literally falling asleep as you walk around. Your back is sore, everything else. And so we're finally like, come on, can this thing just end? So I do my scorecard, and I have enough innings to go. If you cross out, you know, I go 1 through 13, and they have at-bats, runs, hits, and RBIs and column for that. So I could go and erase those and put 14, 15, 16, 17, and then I didn't have an 18th inning. So I said, should I just start a new scorecard? And just as I was starting a new scorecard, game was over. Max Muncy hits the home run, so I never got to finish my second scorecard on that. So that's just the limit I have as a guy who keeps score.
That is a crushing blow. So as somebody who's watched every pitch and written down essentially every pitch, were you surprised at how this team became a buzzsaw in the postseason with all the questions about the bullpen, with some of these lesser guys becoming superstars? Are even you surprised at how they did it?
Well, I was surprised absolutely, because I think going in, everybody had the same questions about the bullpen, and then there was the Sale health issue, so you were like, oh, they're down their ace. So, you know, in past World Series that we've seen teams win, you know, it's the Madison Bumgarner, it's the Adam Wainwrights, it's the guys that, like, you know, come out and just put up massive amounts of innings and everything else, and lo and behold, that was Nathan Eovaldi, which you didn't expect. So to me, it was kind of one of those series where you can throw out all the statistics that you look at, and, you know, how do you put a value, a dollar value, as, you know, that's all everything is now in baseball, free agency, on Nathan Eovaldi. You know, his numbers aren't great and everything else, yet he was just a stud in the postseason, but he's had two Tommy John surgeries. So when you started to see things like that, then you start to believe. To me, and I think Bogarts, I was talking to Bogarts about this after the game on the field, I thought that 16-run outburst at Yankee Stadium was what got the Red Sox believing that they could make this long run. That kind of, like, they were able to breathe as an offense and say, this is what we do. I mean, to think of all the guys that stepped up on this in the bullpen, to see Joe Kelly did what he did, you know, striking out the side. I just thought it was one of those special magical runs that I don't think will ever be, you know, duplicated as far as the Red Sox are concerned. Like, it's just, it's almost impossible because everything fell in place.
All right, so you talk about how this might never be duplicated and how special this is for Red Sox fans. Maybe for, you know, because the older Red Sox fans remember the dry years were, you know, so close yet so far. For the younger audience, as we do have leaders with the 18 to 49 year olds, 18 to 34 year olds, can you kind of put it in context how you should appreciate?
I hate them.
You hate those people.
Yes, I hate anybody who's young, you know, because they didn't have to go through, and John, you can chime in on this one. They didn't have to go through what every Red Sox fan.
That's the resident old fart on the show.
Yeah, correct. You know? Hey, these young guys have no idea.
Yes, like my son is born in 1995. He's seen nothing but championships in his life. I hate him. You know, it's wrong. Every young punk out there that I'm going to see at the parade tomorrow, shoving beers down their throat and everything else. Like, I hate you.
That's
it's
right.
Not
and
right.
You feel that's 20 years older trying to describe it, too. It's
yes,
awful.
You have no idea what Red Sox fans went through. The ball going through Buckner's legs. Yeah. And, you know, it was just every single
Clemens
year, 78,
ejected.
They get that far. Are you kidding me? What's going on with Mike Torres and everything else? Are you kidding me? Like, yeah, 67 came, everybody came alive, and it was awesome. But they didn't win the World Series. It was like, now you just, like, blink. You know, you guys have won four World Series in 14 years or whatever. Like, I hate all of them. I hate everybody. If you wave to me tomorrow, I'm flipping you off. I hate you.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
Just save that.
Get all your right. camera phones ready.
In all seriousness, Danny, how do you tell these guys to enjoy it? Like, to take a step back and to realize how fortunate everyone is?
Because I think the way I used to watch the Red Sox was if they were in contention, if they were within 5, 6, 7, 8 games at Labor Day, on Labor Day, I felt good as a Red Sox fan. That was a great year. Wow, that was pretty awesome. And anything after that was icing on the cake. So now what you do is you take what we see on that field and just appreciate every single day, every pitch, every inning, every at-bat, every trip. You know, go see stadiums. Like, the best part to me of what you're going through right now as a Red Sox fan is you get to celebrate it for a year. You know, they don't crown another champion until next October. So if for me, you know, I'm waiting to get the Red Sox look at the schedule, you know, this morning, and I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to go on this trip. They're playing here. They're playing there. I'm going to go to a 3-game set there, because everywhere you go, there's a good feeling around this baseball team, and it's a well-deserved, hard-earned. They gave everything they had, every ounce of energy, sweat, blood, and tears to get to that point that they're now World Series champions. So for you as a fan, don't worry about, okay, oh my gosh, Joe Kelly, Eovaldi, Kimbrel, they're all free agents. Don't worry about that. Worry about just yourself. Worry about getting your ducks in a row. Worry about your mom, your dad, or your spouse, and say, where do we like to go on vacation next year? Would you like to go for a trip to see the Red Sox and Yankees? Would you like to go to Toronto? Would you like to go see, you know, the West Coast and see what do we say we go on a road trip? You know, what do you say we hop on the family trucks that we rent from Avis, and we just get in our car and we go Anaheim, we go up through Oakland, we go to Seattle, and we just follow the Red Sox for a few series, for a week, and just have a great time with what you're going to see on the field at Fenway Park. Don't worry about the results early on. Just get into the season, enjoy it from start to finish, because these guys did really the unthinkable and had one of the best seasons in the history of Red Sox baseball and one of the best in Major League Baseball. So that's how I look at it. If you're one of those young fans, go have a blast. Just enjoy everything about the 2018 Red Sox, because it was awesome.
All right. Now, Dan, you had a you know, it was grueling. There's no question about it. I'm not being sarcastic. It was a grueling time for you between the Patriots and traveling and the way that they abused the media by putting them on ungodly houred flights. What is, and you were away from your family, who you cherish so much. When do we get down to Walt Disney World?
I know. We're trying to figure it out. Well, the good thing is, Fred, because my wife, my daughter, as you know, plays for Babson College softball, they go on a trip annually to Florida. And we're getting at least one day, because they give the parents and the kids that one day off. So we're going to go to Disney World that day. That'll be in March. I'm looking forward to that. But my daughter's been bugging me. We're trying to figure it out if we can maybe if I can work it in around the winter meetings or something. I'd like to go to Disney sometime in December, because it's the quietest the park ever is. But it's Christmas-ish. How do you say it? What am I trying to say?
Christmas-y?
Holiday-ish. It's just beautiful. It's decorated in Christmas decorations. There's less people there. You can go on rides nonstop. So I think we're going to try to do it sometime in December. maybe is what we're looking at when my daughter gets out of exams. And we'll head down maybe some for a few days. I'd like to go for a week. I'd like to go for 10 days, you know, because it's the happiest place on earth.
Did you see Rick Porcello buck-ass naked?
Mm-mm. No, I didn't. Thank goodness. Nope.
So you didn't see everybody jumping in the big bucket of ice in the locker
room? I saw them, but I just let my photographer, Chris Gobiel, was with me. I just said, go. You go. Go in the middle. I just stood way in the back at that point because that clubhouse was so tiny that I wanted nothing to do with it. But I still got sprayed by people and Mitch Moreland yelling at me, hand me a beer. Hand me another one. Hand me another one. So there you go.
Did you feel like one of the guys?
No, it was just good. It was. I felt, you know what, Fred, as we get a little bit older, I felt like, you know, kind of like one of the front office kind of guys and things like that. You know what I mean? I felt like that.
In a way, you were responsible for this, right? It's like, you know, you're one of the reasons they're there. You're like a front office guy.
Now, Dan, I'm proud of the moves I made. I said, Nathan, I'm glad I picked you up, you know?
Now, Dan, do you get a ring?
No.
A lot of the media guys do get rings when teams win.
Well, the people that are with the team, like the Nesson people, I think they all get rings. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So Joe Kostig and those kind of guys. But, Rich, I'll tell you, there might be an opportunity, as you mentioned, for a Tom Werner moment, because I think before the parade even starts, they're going to do their thing inside the park.
Oh yes. Thank
you. 13 in Don Arcillo. That's right.
Yes. So I think you might have an opportunity there to get something along those lines. So it'll be fun.
You still going to be piercing them nipples that you've been talking about?
I know. I don't know. I've never done that. So, no.
Because who said that they let you pierce their nipples? It was like...
It was Kinsler and Brock Holt and those guys were all in on it. Porcello, they were all in. If they won, so we'll see if they have it tomorrow.
We have
that's
a bunch
one
of
things to look for when you watch the parade coverage on WBZ Channel 4. How about that?
Great plug, excellent plug. And people are saying, I hope that Roach is ready to flip me off tomorrow.
You people are going that, to Danny. The parade just for that.
Danny's just doing shit. He would never do that, would you?
No, I'll be ready to do it, and then I'll just go to the number one sign. You know, yeah, you're number one.
That's right.
One finger over.
That's what you got to do. That's what you do. All right, Dan Roach, congratulations, and you can watch the parade tomorrow on WBZ Television. Thank you so much
for
the time.
All right,
it was a blast.
All right,
see
you, man. Here you go, Danny Roach.
I'm legit happy for him.
You guys kind of let him down into the negative.
What negative?
Naked guys.
Well, that's all. It's happiness. Guys. That was a great moment. They were very happy, those people.
He just, you know, he puts it all perspective about how you should care, how you should care. And how
yours was the question that led to him saying he's going to flip people off at the parade.
It was, but it was not intended in that fashion.
No, that was kind of a...
somehow it just happened.
That was a right turn.
Roach can still surprise us.
Well, listen, the guy's full of surprises. All right, there was a lot of change in Cleveland yesterday. We will talk about that. Here are the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I have an opinion on it, and we need to get so much done, you know, and I know I said that to you and we joke about it, but if we live in our fears, I mean, our team has to get mentally tougher and be able to fight through the shit that we got to fight through. We got to change this drastically, and if we got guys that haven't done shit sitting around doing nothing, you know, I just don't know how we're going to do it.
Well, I respect you saying that. I mean, I used to sit in the same chair.
Joe,
let me
I'm
finish. Let me finish. I used to sit in the same chair as you guys sat in. And I used to feel the same way. I just want to kill them, okay? Until all of a sudden, I sat in this chair, and then they're not there. And you don't get them to practice. And you can't get them through, and then you don't have them for 3 weeks. And I'm not living in my fears. That's real. And I think we all can appreciate that. Anything else? Speak now, MOEP. Yeah.
All that being said, on a positive, and we got a long way to go. But that being said, we're making progress. There's enough positive in my experience that I'm encouraged.
That's good. Guys, listen, I'm excited about what you're doing. I'm going to say it again, but the chair I sit in, a little different than the chair you guys sit in. I get to watch from a different lens. Okay, and I think you guys can all respect that. At the end of the day, I get to drive this bus. And I'm going to get it the way I want it. That's period. That's just how it works. Okay?
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Hugh Jackson, fired yesterday, as was the other voice, Haley. Tape, Good Morning America kisses on. Emergency, emergency, emergency.
There they are. You got it?
Yeah, they are. Emergency, emergency. Kisses on Good Morning America.
They're coming in March. They're coming in March. They announced the tour dates yesterday.
It's their final tour.
Well,
Rich and I saw their first final tour
15 years ago.
Maybe more than that.
All I know is that the one thing that is, I mean, first of all, seeing Kiss is hysterical because as long as they have Paul Stanley speaking on stage, that's all I care. However, they are teasing that there might possibly be some appearances by ex-band members.
Oh, yeah, Vinnie Vincent.
No, not Vinnie Vincent. I think they're talking about Peter Criss. And if they get Ace Frehley up there, Ace Frehley got so drunk that he couldn't even finish the first sentence of one of the songs he was supposed to
shock
sing.
It was shock me.
He goes up there and he goes, and then just like put his hands up there like, I don't know. And they gave Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons gave the biggest eat crap look. Like, you
no,
gotta be
Gene
kidding
gave
me.
The eat crap look, and then Paul went over there and he was trying to play it off and smiling. And he was like, oh, yeah.
It was awesome. See, I want to see that. I want to see him so drunk they can't finish the song. I want to see Peter Criss in pain trying to keep the simplest of drum beats. And I want to hear Paul Stanley do the more ridiculous in show chants and rants that anyone has ever done on stage. That's what makes Kiss. It's not the big sparkles in the light show. It's not throwing up blood. Gene Simmons, Gene Simmons could not even be part of the show, and I wouldn't even mind. As long as Paul Stanley's there, I will pay to see it.
Yep. That's right. I'll catch you, room service. I take the pleasure with the pain. I don't know. Room service. You do what you feel. Room service is about hiding. Yeah,
like hiding. They
bring in the table with the little cover on the plate, and underneath there's a man by the name of Paul Stanley.
Now why would you hide underneath the food that's being brought to a hotel room?
So I can see naked dudes.
Well, I mean, I don't know if that's... It sounds like it's not a very good plan.
No.
Because have you ever been busted? I mean...
No! I put a big club sandwich around my head.
Really?
Yeah!
That's cool.
Or, for instance, I'll put a pizza pie on top of my head.
Uh-huh.
And then when they have too many slices, whoops, right down back in the table!
They don't notice... A guy with long black hair and 7-inch leather heels underneath the table.
I only go to really crappy hotels.
Ah, all right.
No, I don't go there and see naked dude. I go there and creep out once I know they're gone, and then take their undergarments.
Okay, I don't know what. Why would you want to take their undergarments?
I collect them.
Okay. Where do you keep the other people, strangers' undergarments?
It's interesting that you ask. In a humidor!
It's like going to buy a cigar.
Kind of preserve the authenticity. I understand.
Oh, yeah. You put them in a Ziploc bag and hold them, and then you put them in a humidor.
Right.
Okay, so every once in a while you walk in there and say, I'd like to find a fine vintage.
It's a conversation piece.
Okay, with who? Who would you possibly tell that you do that?
Tommy Thayer.
Well, Tommy Thayer
would
do anything you ask.
Very esoteric.
Tommy Thayer, he just needs money, so he would do anything you ask him to.
Well,
please don't fire me, Tommy Thayer would say, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Well, Hugh Jackson was fired yesterday.
Yep, and
Todd Haley.
Why would you fire Hugh Jackson with a 3-36-1 record since he started coaching? 3-36-1.
Two of the wins have been this year.
Because you're Haslam and you could care less about the team that you're more interested in owning your Flying J's. Oh, yeah!
He spent a lot of time in the restrooms there, have you?
Well, on the road, it can be a mighty big crawl.
Okay, well.
Hey, look at this one. This one's faulty. It doesn't have a howl in it.
Yes. Better say, wouldn't they immediately know that you were Paul Stanley?
Disappointing. They can't tell without the makeup.
Okay, all right, understood.
Well, that's why we won't make up for so long.
All right, since we've completely gotten off topic, let's say here's a little bit of Kiss from this morning.
So what about people expect? What's going to be different?
It'll be the biggest show in terms of pyrotechnics. It'll be the biggest show in terms of special effects. Usually we play around 16 songs. We'll play at least 20. We'll cover all the eras of the band. And people who've seen us before will be proud to be there. And the people who've never seen us before will say, wow, why didn't I come sooner?
You know that people tonight are planning their Kiss costumes because it's always, every year. I'm sure that's a big thing. But they're doing it in Detroit, that's for sure. And because of Detroit Rock City,
yeah,
I thought I'd ask you.
Detroit.
Hey, wait a minute. Grand Rapids, hold on.
That's right.
So should we do a little forecast for Detroit, right?
Detroit forecast.
Somebody take over.
Go, Paul, please. Paul.
Paul Stanley.
Yeah.
Paul Stanley. Jesus. Now let's get a check of your local weather.
Just let Paul Stanley do the weather forecast.
It's cloudy with a chance of Chippendales.
Okay,
all right. There's a thunder from down under. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Come with me out to the stream so we can... Look, the power's out, and we need to clean our costumes. Would you come with me to the stream so I can wash my clothes against your washboard app?
We've officially gone off in a direction I didn't know
this.
We were going to go
into.
Fine.
Well, they were on TV.
I can't wait.
Everyone's got to give me a break.
I can't wait. When they come in concert, I can't wait.
Like, where do they play?
TD Garden. They're playing the TD Garden.
Oh!
Dude, it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
But I wonder how many people go out to the Kiss show at the TD Garden.
Oh, it'll pack out.
You think so?
Without a doubt. I not only will it pack out, you know, this whole, like, it's our last thing, I guarantee you this is going to sell, like, more tickets than usual. There's no way that this doesn't sell at least 75-80% capacity.
If I go and they don't bring out Peter and Ace, I'm very upset.
Well, I'll be disappointed, but the fact that I'm still seeing Paul Stanley is everything.
Yeah, Ace has done some stuff with Paul. Like, they haven't been, they're like recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
all
was
of
with
these,
Paul.
They're playing Madison Square Garden. Yeah. They're playing all just
big
arenas.
Places.
Yeah. United Center, Chicago, FedEx Forum, Memphis, Tennessee, the Forum in LA, you know, T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
that houses a major sports team, that's where they're going.
Yeah. You got to see Kiss. If you've never seen Kiss before, it's the best comedy show ever.
Oh, it's the greatest. He licks the picks, Paul Stanley, and then puts it on his nipple. And then, like, looks at the crowd like, huh?
He'll perform an entire song with a pick on his nipple.
And then he'll flick it to, like, a girl in the audience. Like, she's going to be like, this is so awesome. This was on your nipple.
And it's like a big old hairy nipple. So it's, like, floating. It's on, like, a tuft of nipple hair.
Mucho macho.
March 26th, my friends.
Okay, well, that's...
March 26th. That's a Monday night.
Yeah.
I grew up, I had a bad ear.
What? Is that from his book?
Yeah.
Okay.
They call me the one-ear monster. Gene.
Really?
Yeah, they did.
Okay.
Gene, don't look at my ear.
That's like the big emotional part of the book.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
It was very hard with this ear.
Okay.
Nah. Not when I talk about my ear. There's none of that. It was very painful. I
you
had
really like
oh, yeah.
my limousine. You like the way the I hide on the knee. You like my 7-inch leather heel. Oh.
And creeping around the show. What? I'm on the ceiling. You can't see me. I'm on the ceiling. Looking down on you.
Spider stand.
I got mirrors on my boots.
All right, very good. We will take a break when we come back. Bob Sosi, who called the king.
I got fancy clothes.
All right, we will be joined by Bob Sosi, who called the game last night in just a moment.